Mangerengere, seems strange, perhaps, that black South Africans can still sing, can still dance, can still create music in the face of the violence of oppression. Even the man who's walking to his execution, for example, sings. But the song that he sings, the songs that is that are created and played by black musicians throughout South Africa, are songs of defiance, are songs of rejection of the system of apartheid, the system that makes a black person a fourth-class citizen in his own country. The music that is created by black South Africa is a direct response to the apartheid system under which black South Africans live. Every note of music, every song that is written relates directly to the experience, and in that way it is a uniquely South African kind of music. Black music is defiant music. It's an expression of the joy of life in a country where the life itself is denied to black people. It expresses the determination that every black South African will win his freedom one day. The black music cannot be explicitly, overtly political. So the way that the music is performed is subtle. It expresses in its tone, in the sound of the voice, in the sound of the instrument, in the sound of the music, it expresses this resistance and this defiance and the soul of the black South African.
Oh, from 1984. Going back in time with the wonderful member and developer of both this jive music and soul, if you remember, one of the essential members of the group, the Hariri, originally the Beaters. Upon their breakup in the early 80s, he would move on not only as a drumming sensation, playing in different styles, also with, for example, in jazz with Dollar Brand or Abdullah Ibrahim, but he would go on to record a series and produce a series of these very popular high-energy jive songs out of town for the township youth. This was 1984's Jive Soweto. Before that, the voice of South African music, it's implicitly political, and at this period, more and more overtly political sound. From a 1985 EP of Shona Modern Jivers from the townships, Super Sounds, their contribution, Mangarengay, and recorded an EP of music with a number of other groups from Shona Music, the title track to that EP compilation. Started the set with the Sons of Thunder from 1979 with Soweto Sporo, this sound of the youth. And then an example way back of how this jive music, referring now to popular music, kind of traditional and modern, encouraged by the authorities at one period to represent ethnic traditions. That aspect of the music would be rejected into the late 1970s. We heard Teaspoon and Dulo after that with Disco Funk before coming back to the 1985 and Super Sounds. According to the author Gwen Ansell in Soweto Blues, Jazz, Popular Music and Politics in South Africa, the confirms kind of this turning point into the late in 1976. Turning point in many ways. On the 15th of June in 1976, the uprisings following the massacres of 10,000, well, not of 600 students who, in a protest, rather peaceful at the beginning, of 10,000 students, was harshly repressed by police, by dogs with tear gas and then live ammunition. And the news of children dying and lying in the streets would spread across South Africa and lead to a continued moment of resistance, union actions, strikes, and military actions as well into the 1970s. It would lead, as we saw earlier in this series, to exile of more youths, their engagement and politicization in aggressive actions outside of the borders of South Africa, as well as the use and realization of the place of culture in political resistance in an even more overt way than it had been when we looked at the birth of soul and its attraction to youth trying to find a new way. Those uprisings had weird targets, not only the apartheid system, but even students and youth turned on the shebeens, the beer halls, which they blamed in part for the inadequacy of the acts and passivity perceived of older generations. The music did, and these uprisings did require a response. And right at the top of the program, we had a wonderful track from 1982 from Sakhile, their first album released in 1982. We heard Isilo. And that song was inspired by the events and massacres of June 1976 and the death of the children. They wrote the song, A Morning Song, or Soweto Blues as an alternate title, and the saxophonist in that group, Chaya Malangu, said he experienced the writings. In the book, he says, "In Isilolo, we tried to capture what happened on that fateful Wednesday. I remember on that very day we were rehearsing at the Pelican nightclub in Orlando, and somebody just came in and said, 'Hey, there's trouble outside there, so will you stop playing music?' I went home. I was still living with my parents then. It was not far from school where Hector Peterson was shot. So the township was burning. I remember seeing bodies lying down. I had to take a cousin of mine to Naledi. We got shot at, and at crossroads in White City. It was terrible. I almost died there, me, my father, and my cousin. It was terrible seeing burning cars, bodies lying in the streets. So that image never left my mind. When we got together finally with Sifo Ngembe, member of the group, we were experimenting with a whole lot of things, and he wrote the song. We shaped it up in terms of arranging. We basically, we felt that these are things that had to be highlighted. We cannot sit back and say we are not part of this society that has suffered this injustice. The music resuscitated other popular musicians, some of whom had been around for decades, to deal directly with the music. This is one of those examples of a musician pianist who had worked in jazz idioms before that, and then released quite political music in the 70s and 80s. The band leader from the Eastern Cape, Tete Mbambisa, released first Tete's big sound with his song Unity, calling for just that feeling after the riots. And then in another track, the title track, in fact, to an album re-released recently, Black Heroes. On its original liner notes, it read, a musician's song of lamentation delivered by sad artists at the graveside, blowing a hymn. This is Tete's infectious dedication to all our great musicians who have left us. A sad piece, a funeral note with distant drum chanting and calling on black gods to bless their sons and daughters with soul. Mathelani, guitarist Doctor, and Mamba Sirik give this piece their interpretations between the theme verses. Sad rhythm in times of anxiety, hope, and faith. On CKUT 90.3 FM, this music becomes more political into the 70s and 80s, music that even will be repressed more and more on radio, looking for any signs of subversion, tone, and sound. Over 60% of the music submitted for broadcast from 1976 to about 1984 was refused for any form of public broadcast. band leader through over two decades of music, tribute to the resistance, the youth fallen, and the resistance of 1976. A youth movement that transformed itself along with the Black Consciousness Movement through the 1970s, and then through the result of the resistance and the accrued repression, violent at that, through the 1980s of the apartheid regime's response to this more and more educated and reclamating and revolutionary youth that sought in a sound both national ethnic identities, but a sense of modern liberation. The tones change, the attack changes, the movement and performance changes. We heard Black Heroes on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This group, Sakile, that responded to this amalgamation of new music, soul, disco, and transform jives into a higher energy and political voice more explicitly than in the past. They said the group was based on the idea of we are building or we have built. This is their self-titled track from their first album, self-titled as well, from 1982 on CKUT 90.3 FM, Sakile. We'll be right back. Music of Resistance on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. As we wind down part 9 of our series of South African music, it's soul, funk, and jazz. Part 9 looking really at this 1976 to 80s period where jive is no longer restrained by the attempts of government to provide traditional identities artificially created into a youth that is resistance, seeks education and political engagement, and the musicians respond. If you remember over the last few weeks, we've heard about how this period also marked the realization among political parties that music, culture, procession, performance were part of the revolution and resistance of the against the system of apartheid. They created a variety of groups to reflect that vision and to spread sound and ideas. Among them, we heard last week, Amandla, the cultural group, one of the ANC wings. This song comes from a later period than the recordings we heard last week. Released in 1982, this song could get you 5 years in jail, as it did for a number of musicians caught with it. Embers of Soweto, and the sound of history and what is resisted. The Amandla Cultural Group to end part 9 on funky revolutions of soul, funk, and jazz in South Africa.
Embers of Soweto. Out of the crucible warrior army of new age, despising gas, baits, bullets, defying centuries of slavery, advancing without care on armored cars, striking metals with clenched fists, the warrior cry, Amandla! Rising in every throat, despising death, under muscles of machine, under muscles of butcher, teenagers and the 8-year-olds press forward into the piercing storm, advance into the hail of death, advance into the land and weight of centuries, and tumble into an instant. Collapsing under the barbed wire eyes, the butcher's chorus baying, Grey Star, Grey Star. Assassin's lips.
Of the Amandla cultural group, Embers of Soweto. And people did go to, were sentenced to 5 years in jail for possessing this cassette. On CKUT 90.3 FM, we end part 9 of our series on soul, funk, and jazz in South Africa. We'll be back right after these messages.
Ça prend une bonne dose de courage et de persévérance pour traverser une pandémie.
Ça prend aussi une bonne dose de patience, de résilience, de confiance, d'optimisme, d'humour et d'amour. Une bonne dose de détermination, d'endurance, d'empathie, de motivation, d'ingéniosité et d'espoir.
Mais surtout, ça prend une deuxième dose de vaccin.
Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
We end today's episode 17 of the Mothership Cassette Archives celebrating 25 years of Funky Revolutions with an interview with the Keylights, Montreal's own funketeers, who came on the show at the end of this particular program in April of 2015.
The Keylights on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Khalid. In our last half hour on the flight of the mothership, we do have the pleasure of welcoming Josh Toll and Simon Nakineshny to the air on CKUT. Members of the Keylights will be releasing, as you just heard, their debut album this coming Saturday, the 11th of April, at Bar Le Ritz, 179 Jean Talon Street West, corner of Waverly. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
A pleasure. Well, funk and the Keylights. You have a diverse background if people have ever seen you live. You have the dance floor in mind. This album, though, is essentially a groove midway down the funk line. Give us a little bit of the sense of what this album is about for you guys, and what is it that defines the funk on this album for you and the grooves that you chose?
Well, a little while, and I think it's a bit of a culmination of some of our musical influences. You know, we all come from kind of diverse musical backgrounds just in terms of the kind of music we play. Josh is really heavy into a lot of Jamaican music. I'm into a lot of deep soul, you know, been influenced a lot by Miami sound, Benny Lattimore, that kind of music. Dave is really into hip hop, and Joel plays a lot with a lot of ethnic groups around town, a lot of world music. So I think a lot of those influences all come together in this, and what we really wanted to do, though, was fuse those type of grooves with personal songwriting. So a lot of the songwriting here is personal. The subject matter is not just sort of kind of a keep it funky kind of vibe. It's more like stories from our personal lives set to these type of funky grooves. And I think that that fits into the kind of band we want to be. We want to pay tribute to the music that we love, but also bring something new to it. We don't just want to be kind of like a soul tribute band. So I think that comes across in the songwriting and in our influences. So Josh can talk maybe a bit more to that too.
Yeah, I mean, and sonically, the grooves that you'll hear on the record, there's definitely a lot of funky stuff, hip-hoppy types, drum sounds, and funky pockets, but also a lot of references texture-wise to you know, classic soul stuff, and we got a string section on the record that, that really took it to the next level. And Simon wrote the charts for that, and it just, you know, with the strings and the horns on top of what we do in the rhythm section, I think it's a bit of a different sound. You know, it's not chart; it doesn't sound like a Motown thing or a necessarily like a Stax thing or anything. You can hear all those influences, but it's a bit of our own thing too.
A Montreal light sound, yeah, in terms of the funk. And well, let's play one track, get into that, hear your first groove, and then we'll come back in a moment in studio. Members of the Key Lights launch their debut album, Key Lights, at Bar La Ritz on the 11th, next Saturday. We have Josh and Simon in the rhythms and singing as well, right, mm-hmm. Josh? So this is A Shame that opens up the album on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Seems now I hang my head. Baby, I'm ashamed.
Mama, I'm ashamed.
What I've done. Mama, I'm to blame.
Mama, I'm ashamed.
What we have become. Baby, I'm ashamed.
Mama, I'm ashamed.
Cause I did you wrong. Baby, I'm ashamed. In a small town, you fall from grace, word gets around, when friends become strangers, rumors and lies, just don't compare to the pain I feel inside. Baby, I'm ashamed.
Mama,
I did you wrong. Baby, I'm ashamed.
Mama, I'm
so ashamed. And when you ask me, how could I treat you this way? You wouldn't be wrong. No, baby. When I woke up, half a lifetime had disappeared.
Very, very, very nice. First track from our guest live in studio, the Chelates members Josh and Simon here to speak a little bit about their launch next Saturday at Bar La Ritz on CKUT. Thanks. That's a very sweet track. You guys are right in the pocket and very nice.
Thank you.
The themes, as you were saying, Josh, you wanted to add something and then find it in the writing, but also the themes, the personal themes, and they're very raw. In some of the tracks, I mean, just this Ashamed, Tell Me the Truth, the one about the other man there. Mm-hmm. How does funk, is that one of the aspects that attracts you to funk, is that it's a soul music, it's a,
yeah, well, I think,
Barrett Hart blues type of thing. Is that part of the process for you guys?
As the singer, the vocalist, we all write songs for the band. Simon writes a lot of songs, I write a lot of songs, and then we all collaborate. So, you know, when the story might not be my story personally, but the beauty of having this kind of groove behind it is it's my job as the singer to evoke, find something that I can make it evocative, even if it's not my story, you know? So to put that emotion and that feeling and that soul and that energy in it and make people feel it, even if it's not my story. So that's part of the challenge, and that's the fun of it too.
This is a generation of electronic realities, and this is a music that obviously the amplification was an important part of the development of this kind of rhythm and blues, but it's a music of band, orchestras, textures, and that kind of live vibe. How do you guys fit? How do you redefine that in a time of, you know, impulse and pulse that's electronically generated and people, that's what they hear?
I think the way we made the record really helped. We did a lot of work on the front end getting to know the songs and get inside the songs, so that once we got into the studio, we didn't have to really think about that, you know? And then we did all the bed tracks all on tape, just did it all live off the floor. And I think all that helps. So a lot of the vocals went down live off the floor as well. And, you know, things were massaged and edited and tweaked and obviously mixed and everything. But we tried to keep it as much whole takes of things and keep things as raw as possible. If there's a couple mistakes or little lumps in the gravy, I don't think any of that hurts, you know?
I would say, too, Josh and I especially come from musical backgrounds that are very band-based backgrounds. So, you know, we've played in bands, different bands, for years, and that's kind of how we learned our trade as musicians. And, you know, part of that whole, I guess, philosophy comes from you learn to play as a band maybe before you make a record, or you try and develop a sound as a band before you make a record. You don't come at it first what's popular, what's, you know, what's selling, or what is trendy, and how do we then fit a band around that. And I think we did that with this group too. You know, the band was formed, we kind of cut our teeth on doing a lot of classic material, just so that we could really get a sound together as a band. And I think that once you have a band sound like that and you have a groove as a band, you want that to come out on record. You know, the temptation to just drown it in a drum machine or something is less when you feel like comfortable that, you know, we're all kind of doing something to make the groove interesting and our own. And like Josh said, you know, maybe there's a couple hiccups here and there, but that's fine for us. We'd prefer to have people hear us and our sound rather than, you know, make it electronically perfect or digitally perfect, you know.
We mentioned, like, there's the different schools of the funk and places of the funk, and a lot of that else not only had to do with the individuals up on the stage and the voices, but about the production work and the place it was produced and who was and the labels and all of that. How do you guys work it? Do you think your sound comes from the whole process? Does the production provide part of that? Is that part of your conscious element when you're at the production level, is trying to find that energy or that warmth in a certain, is that part of how you created this album?
Yeah, well, I think also too, you know, like a live show and a record are two different things, and the songs are the same and the band is going to be the same, but really what this sounds like, what the record sounds like finished, is it's pretty much the way we sounded as four guys in a room when we were in the rehearsal studio putting it together. And then you'll hear some stuff on top, the textures with the strings and the horns. So we cut everything like that, the four of us, and then we spend some time with it listening, and it's like, okay, well, you know, that might be enough live when it's the four of us because there's the energy of the live performance, but what holes, what what holes are there, how can we support what's going on in a tasteful way and stay out of the way of, we want that to be the core of it, you know, the four of us, but if we can support that or highlight things or bring out some textures that just fill some space, I think that's how we kind of went about this record.
And we also weren't, I'd say further to that, we weren't afraid of going in a direction production wise that was maybe different track to track. So, you know, if the first track we heard, Ashamed, you know, it very much in my mind production wise is that kind of South Florida grooves, a lot of you know, Benny Lattimore, that kind of very clean but funky sparse grooves. There's other tracks that are more like a Meters type track, you know, then there's some that are almost like a pop track with strings, and some that are more like a 60s psych track with the Farfisa and stuff. So we weren't afraid to let those production influences come out, because we, as Josh says, when you have a band that's at the core of it, we were confident that it would kind of all hold together, and we thought maybe people would like the fact that there were a few different production styles and a few different musical styles too. So
in studio are the Key Lights. They launched their album Key Lights, their debut, at Bar Le Ritz next Saturday, the 11th of April, at 179 Jean Talon Street West, corner of Waverly, the old Il Mattore. Let's try, well, you guys are half of this quartet, which is the Key Lights. Let's just mention the two missing.
Yeah, our bass player is named Joel Kerr. He's an excellent bass player and a great guy. And Dave Payan is our drummer.
And so we miss part of the time from the quartet, but they do perform all together next Saturday, the 11th. Let's go to Tell Me the Truth and come back on Funky Revolutions. This is our guest, the Key Lights.
You can tell me the truth now that it's over. We don't have to scream and blame. Mama said it's just a crying shame. Tell me you're fine, and for once I believe you. There's nothing to prove. You can tell me the truth. I remember way back when we were better then. Truth, now that it's over, you don't have to play part. Take the time to mend our broken hearts. We were so young, just children with promises we couldn't keep. There's nothing to prove. You can tell me the truth. I remember way back when we were better. When I add up all the time away, I take another day.
Another day.
Because it takes time and devotion. Just tell yourself those little lies. It's a law of emotion. I can tell you the truth now that it's over. We both had time to think. One day we can raise a drink to what could have been. The places we've seen and the times we had. There's no excuse. You can tell me the truth. I remember way back when we were better than.
Better than.
When I add up all the time away, I take another day.
Another day.
For devotion, just tell yourself those little lies. It's a law of emotion. I know it's been hard for you. My love, 'cause you know
to catch the Soul and the Funk Fever next Saturday, the 11th of April, at Bar La Ritz with our guests live in studio, a second selection, Tell Me the Truth, from their debut album being launched this coming Saturday, a week from now, at, as I said, Bar La Ritz, 179 Jean Talon Street West. Half of the four that make the Key and the Lights are here in studio with us, vocals, guitar, sax, and keys as well, right, Simon?
Yeah.
That kind of music harkens back, and you mentioned you wanted to add your own vibe to it. What is it though that has assured the perennity of funk, and not just as a musical form, but what is it that comes and gets young people still yet today, and that they want to create a band that plays tribute but continues it, gives it its own life?
I mean, I think as a musician, just once you start to be able to play some music like that, and once you feel what it feels like to sit in a pocket that's funky and play, the way you connect with the other musicians and the way you connect with the audience when you're playing music that's a groove, that's hypnotic, that makes people dance, you know, because I've played a lot of different kinds of music, and I know we all have, and they all have their own attributes for what makes them a payoff live, you know. Some stuff, it's really technical, and just seeing it come together is a win. Or you know, some music is more intellectual, but when you play stuff that's just visceral and feels good and makes people, it feels great to make people dance. It's an amazing thing when you feel it. So I think that's never going to go away, whether it's in a hip hop way or an electronic way or whatever. But when you're playing it with your hands or singing or whatever, I think there's a different connection to it.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Radio. Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT. It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Steve Sanka.
And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas.
Special guest, DJ. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms.
On CKUT 90.3 FM,
People's Station.